Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Happy Thursday, Right Here in Mass listeners. Joining us today is Rick Welch, President and CEO of Spark Technologies. Rick's vast knowledge of technology solutions, management, and business principles has allowed him to lead the professional team at Spark Technologies. When he's not diving into all things IT, Rick is leading vocals and guitar solos for two bands, playing on the ice as a longtime goaltender, golfing, playing tennis, watching movies, trying new tech gadgets, and collecting guitars. Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Do you want to start off by sharing with our audience more about yourself and what you do?
I thought you just did all that, but that's okay. So, I'm the owner of Spark Technologies. We're here in Rockland, Mass. We are a full-fledged IT managed service company, meaning that we basically become the IT department for the companies that we manage and support. I have a great staff here. And, we're always excited to help people with their technology and, you know, keep their business operating.
And prior to starting Spark Technologies, like, what made you want to pursue IT overall as a career? Like, I'd love to hear more about how you came across that and kind of what led you to where you are today.
Oh, that's a good question. So, my degree is actually in healthcare administration. I went to Stonehill with a business minor. When you get out of college, you kind of don't know what you're going to do. My family owned a chain of nursing homes. So I found myself in that business as an assistant administrator and HR director. I did it for about 3 years. And I'll be honest with you, it just wasn't for me. There was an actual project that they gave me, and it was a rollout of a time clock system. And I started, getting immersed into how to deploy technology. And this is back in 1991, 92. This is like when the web started kind of picking up. So I kind of always had like a little Mac plus computer that I kind of, had games and started writing music software, writing songs and stuff with. And I always had like tinkered around with stuff. I was notorious for like, taking apart my parents' VCR and putting it back together again. And, it usually never worked. But, making models as a kid. So I always kind of had like a knack for learning things. And that kind of got me into computers. I was always kind of the go-to at the nursing home when someone had a computer question or something like that to, help them out or fix things. So I kind of enrolled after, a few years in the healthcare industry, I kind of enrolled back into classes, did some night courses in Boston, and got my certification through the Microsoft track and became a Microsoft certified engineer. And then I got into web development and graphic design. From there, I started my first company, which was WellNet Technology Solutions. And I had about 20 customers, and it was enough to kind of, keep the lights on and pay my bills. And I did websites for companies. I mean, this is going back to the days of Mosaic, Netscape. I don't know if you've heard of these things, but I was developing websites back then. And then it got me more into networks and building more complicated systems for companies. And then I landed a job at a company called Advanced Marketing Services. And what they did was they were a software development firm for the real estate industry. They were the first company to build a web-based multiple listing service. So back then, the state of Massachusetts, everything was all DOS-based and it was all character stuff. So there was no pretty pictures or anything like that, like you see now on Realtor.com and all these real estate firms. So we actually were one of the first companies to develop that technology. We sold the system, and then within like 9 months of me joining that firm, we went from four guys to 43 people.
Wow.
And I saw the company grow as an early partner. And I was with that company for about 3 years, and I learned a lot. And then the whole Y2K thing happened. Those I can remember that, and everyone was like, you know, the world's going to end because all the computers are going to stop. So I went back to my family company to help them with that. I'm like, you know, computers are going to be big someday, so, you know, let's get ready for this. And they, back then, the healthcare company was growing too. And I came in there as the IT director, and I ended up staying there for 21 years, as the IT director and the chief technical officer. So I pretty much built that, entire network from start to finish to, you know, when the company was sold. I remember we started with 40 email addresses, and when I left, it was 1400. So I watched the whole, part of the whole development of building the whole infrastructure and technology for that company. And, it was myself, Paul Drummond, and Pete McDonald, who are still with me now, with Spark. So company was sold back in 2016, and we decided to go off on our own. And that's how we started Spark Technologies.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so it's quite a story. So we kind of, I look at it as being on the other side of the fence, meaning like I, you know, had other companies that helped me support the technology side because we had just so many people to support, and I couldn't do it all myself. So now that I'm on the other side, supporting other companies, it's kind of a nice thing. So I've seen it on both sides of the fence. So Spark's been in operation for a little over 7.5 years. We're growing. We're up to about 60 companies now, with various entities. So it's almost up to like 125 different locations that we actually support.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's exciting. We love coming to work. We have such a great crew here. And, we're kind of like a very tight family.
Yeah, so I love that. And you've accomplished so much in your career being an IT professional. I think one thing that's really interesting, and I'm sure has been a differentiator for you, is the fact that you really got your foot into this career when the whole like dot-com era was happening. And like you mentioned, when computers were available to the public and the whole Y2K situation that was going on, it must've been really interesting to be at like the forefront of that and now see how things have changed 23 plus years later.
Yeah, it's probably been longer than that. I mean, I tell some of the guys here, like plug and play, like we didn't have plug and play. Everything is all drivers and floppy disks. No one knew what those were. I actually kept some of the old disks and some of the old CDs, like the AOL install disks. Remember those? I mean, probably don't remember those. All the dial-ups. The old baud modems that we used to install. It's changed immensely as far as technology. And that's always up to us to keep up with the latest technology and what's coming down the pike. And we do a very good job at that.
Yeah. And with that, what are your methods for kind of staying in touch with new advancements and things that are coming up that you can then share with your clients to better support them and provide more value to them?
Yeah. So, you know, we're lucky. We have some great service partners, and we kind of stay with our core services, which kind of fall into three different models, one being or three buckets. We monitor and maintain all the systems for our companies. And then there's the big security piece. That's the tough thing to always keep in track. But, you know, the partners that we use and the technology that we use kind of knock it out of the park, especially with some of the new AI technology that we've deployed in the last year. It's been like night and day compared to some of the stuff that we used to see. And then there's the whole help desk piece. So, you know, as far as keeping up with new technology, all of our partners send out all the latest stuff. All the guys sign up for different courses to take or different, you know, product announcements going through, whether it be white papers or certain training, a lot of video training. And, you know, when we do look at a new application, we would probably look at 12 different vendors that, you know, before we actually put it into our core stack. So yeah, it's in technology. I mean, it's somewhat the Wild West. There's so many different companies out there, but we know what we, you know, are very good at. And we kind of like to stay with that, within that parameter, as far as delivering the best services for our customer with products that make sense. So, you know, I have some, you know, senior VP guy on my staff and some senior techs, and they kind of take the lead on that stuff as far as, you know, dealing with the technology from the end user side and, you know, what works best for us and the client.
Absolutely. And so when you got started, you had worked for your family's business for quite some time before you ended up starting Spark Technology. So I imagine you had a ton of knowledge of entrepreneurship and business ownership through that. But did you find the transition to be challenging at all, going from working for your family's business to now owning and operating your own?
Well, I'll say yes and no. So throughout the years, I've probably started 7 or 8 businesses. On the side, I've had 2 guitar companies. I had the consulting business, like I told you, with Wellnet. I had a small little real estate thing. I told you I worked for other companies. So I kind of had a good background. I always kind of wanted to stay busy. So I'll be honest with you, when I started Spark and I knew I was going to be at the helm here, there was a couple nights that I was like, you know, I couldn't sleep. I'd be like, yeah, can I do this? And the responsibility, because, you know, when you're the top guy, you know, I've heard this before, you know, when you hire people, have people that work for you, you're not just dealing with them, you're dealing with their families. You're dealing with their livelihood. And that's a lot of responsibility that I, you know, especially in a startup. I mean, we started with nothing. We started with one customer. And, you know, it was kind of, you know, you sink or swim. And I would say the first 6 to 9 months were rough.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got through them. And once kind of the word got out, and, you know, at the same time, we were kind of like, we have the perfect scenario, we have the perfect product, and it's kind of like, but no one knows us.
Yeah.
We're the new company on the block. Even though we were doing what we were doing for years, and we knew we were excellent at it, some of the other things as far as starting a business just weren't there yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that took a while. You know, we're still always doing it. You know, it's a fun ride, I would say. Now that you get more, once you grow and you get more, you know, things in place, more people, you know, it's just a great team, communication in place. You know, it's, you know, we just strive to be successful. And I think I probably told you this before, our biggest problem is not enough people know about us, but they will.
Yeah.
So, you know, absolutely, we look forward to that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I appreciate your transparency about the first 6 to 9 months being difficult because I feel like entrepreneurship is often glorified, where people tend to talk about and think about all of the great things that come with it, but not kind of mention people going through the trenches and really going through the challenges that come with entrepreneurship. So I think it's definitely important to remember that entrepreneurship definitely has, although a lot of awesome benefits that come from it, a lot of challenges that come with it as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. You know, it's exciting to run your own company. But I'm going to be the first one to tell you that I did not do it alone. I literally fed my head with anything I could get a hold of. I read tons of books. I listened to tons of podcasts. I still do it. You know, sales, marketing, you know, business management, all the way to finances. Yeah, I have a very solid background in these areas, but when you're actually doing it, it's like two different things. First thing I did was is get a office manager that could do, you know, everything from finances to payroll. That was critical. And we knew, as you know, being techs, that we could handle that piece, the service piece, but just to make sure that everything was operating smoothly to actually, you know, grow the company. But yeah, entrepreneurship, one of the big things that really helped me a lot was I found a mentor. It was actually a good friend of mine. We became really great friends. And he was the vice president of sales at Pfizer. So he had tons of sales knowledge and tons of business knowledge. And it's true. It's like 9 out of 10 startups fail within the first 3 to 5 years. And I was like, this can't happen. You know, this is our livelihood. Like I said, I got responsibility for two former employees now, you know, working for me. You know, I've been with these guys for almost 17 years. And now, back then, working for another company, yeah, you always got a paycheck. But when you work on your, you know, by yourself, we're like, you know, we gotta make this work.
I think you nailed it with the fact that what you mentioned earlier, which I didn't even think about, but it's so true, which is like when you're an entrepreneur, it's not just your employees you worry about, but their families too, and how things in their personal lives can overflow into the business and whatnot. And so at the end of the day, you're not just responsible for your own paycheck, but your employees' paycheck so that they can support their families. And it's so much pressure that just goes into it. I mean, it's great to be able to support people in that aspect, but just like the mental load that comes with knowing that you're responsible for everything can be a lot.
Yeah. And like I said, I knew that very early. And, you know, to this day, when you bring in someone into, you know, we Spark, when I even hire somebody, I, you know, we have a very cool culture here. You kind of have to belong. This is not that corporate America type, you know, stringent place. We want it to be a very friendly atmosphere. You know, I hire young guys that are techs. And you know, I've been to weddings, I've been to births of, you know, employ, you know, children of my employees. I've been to parties. I mean, you know, it's kind of the way I wanted it to look. And when I bring, you know, or hire people, you know, they should understand this is our culture. We're a tight-knit group. We communicate with each other on a regular basis. We always get the work done. That's the main part. But, you know, we're human, and everyone has outside interests and does other things too. But we, you know, we get the job done. And the greatest thing as far as being an owner is getting praise from customers and about the good work and the friendliness and, you know, customer service, and it's key. And they get it. You know, we're not an IT company where we're very non-hands-on. So It's being in, you know, everyone knows here that they're interfacing with customers, and it's critical that they understand what we're doing, and they leave, you know, with their issue resolved and smile on their face, and they're happy. So
absolutely,
that to me is like the best satisfaction of being an owner.
Yeah. And when you feel passionate about something, it absolutely shows in the work that you produce and the relationships that you have with your customers, because you just feel excited about the work that you do. And back to your point about you're having like a specific culture and a really welcoming and inclusive culture within your company. I mean, I saw that a few days ago when I saw photos and videos of you and your team out for, it looked like dinner after work or something like that. And, you know, normally people on a Friday or any day after work might say, I just can't wait to get home and leave this place. But to see your employees having fun and laughing and eating and just having great conversations shows that you've built a culture like that and a place that people really want to be around.
Yeah, I'm extremely lucky.
Yeah.
And everyone here knows it's a lifestyle job. It's not a 9-to-5 job. If you're not cut out to, you know, help people off hours and things of that nature, this is not a place for you. Like I said, there's no punch clock to sign in, but everyone is responsible. They get the work done. Everyone here is full time. They get paid full time. And like you said, yeah, we go out for dinners. We do things all the time. Well, we try to jump into golf tournaments to, you know, support our customers when they have charity events and things of that nature. So, you know, it's all part of it. So like I said, it's a great culture here, and you know, it's fun, but it's work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And so since you've had Spark Technologies for a little over 7.5 years now, how has your role transitioned so that you're able to kind of get out of the like quote unquote employee role now into that president and CEO role, since you have a great team you can rely on?
Yeah, it's funny because at first, it took me a while to get off the help desk, and I always want to like kind of answer things for people, and the technical side of me would always come out, and I'd always want to help people. But it wasn't until one of my top guys shut me out of the system. He's like, "You're done." He's like, "Stop answering this. We got it for you." And that's how it started. And it was like tough. It's like taking away like what you did on a regular basis. But you know, running a business, you're always going to wear many hats. And we have a weekly, sometimes twice a week, staff meeting where we discuss all these things that come up. And I'm usually just jotting down notes to follow up on certain things, whether it be talking with a customer or dealing with an internal issue. But for the most part, we're a very well-oiled engine here. For me to transition, I would say was pretty easy in a way. But it not much has changed other than the fact I've gotten out of the technical area, and I let the, I call them the pros, deal with it.
Yeah.
But now, obviously, I oversee financing, the marketing pieces. And I was doing almost all the sales before, but we recently hired a director of sales. So, you know, we're transitioning, getting even more off my plate. But, you know, I always like to keep up with, you know, the things that are happening here locally. I do talk to other so-called, we'll call them competitors, but I don't look at them as competitors. We're all kind of in the same space. Kind of doing the same thing. We do it differently, but it's good to learn from other companies. And I like to do that. I still like to figure out, you know, the latest and greatest, what we can do better, improve on systems. There's always something that that comes across my desk.
Yeah.
So you know, that's life of being a small business owner. You know, the name of the game is just keep growing. If you're going the other way, you're dying. So, you know, keep things steady, and you know, things pay off when you do things correct.
Yeah.
And the more things you do correct and better, you know, more people pay attention, and you just get, you know, more work out of it, and you know, the company grows. And I'm, like I said, I like to, you know, when we do a great job and our efforts show for it, and we have additional, you know, money set aside, I obviously give it back to my staff.
Yeah.
So they love that. Like that too.
Yeah. And going back to your team, I can imagine that getting stuff off your plate was possible because of the fact that you've hired great people, where you don't have to worry about if the work is or isn't going to get done as you would have done it. You know that it's going to get done to your standards, which I think goes to show the very talented and skilled people that you've included as part of Spark Technologies.
Yeah, I mean, with some guys that are still here, started as interns, and they've, you know, furthered their education and got their degrees, and they come right back to Spark. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had other guys that come from different walks of life that wanted to get into technology, or had a somewhat of a technology background, but never worked for a tech company. And, you know, we have, I think, a very good training program. And, you know, once they learn the culture here and once they, you know, put their best foot forward, you know, we encourage, you know, success within.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it shows, you know, I think we're on our third revision of our website and getting testimonials. He's like, well, can you pick out companies that will give you good reviews? And I'm like, you can call them all, you know?
Yeah. I
so,
love that.
You know, that's a good thing to have. So, like I said, I'm fortunate in that area.
Absolutely.
Did I answer your question?
It sure did.
Okay.
And we were chatting about this before we started recording, but we've also I've mentioned it in your bio at the beginning of the show, but you have so many hobbies and things that you enjoy doing outside of work. And so how do you balance the two where you can ensure that you still have time for yourself to do the things that you love while still being that business owner?
Oh boy. Well, I always tell people don't try to figure me out because I haven't. You know, I guess I don't even like calling it a job. I call it an adventure. You know, yeah, I run the company here, but I also play in two bands. I play hockey on a regular basis. These are things that I've been doing since I was a little kid, and I haven't stopped. I enjoy it. I think you should have outside interests. I still dabble in some other, you know, business stuff on the side, mostly just for hobbies or fun. I am a avid collector of guitars. I have this weird fetish of color purple, as you can probably see in the background. So, my last name is Welch. So back in my high school days, I got made fun of, they call me Welch Grape Jam. So the old purple thing stuck. So all my guitars are purple. I got a lot of purple around. So that's kind of one of those things. But yeah, you know, I enjoy it. It's I probably drive my wife crazy, but you know, she loves to be part of it too. And it's sometimes it's like a night out and get friends and family involved, and you know, it's a good way to stay in touch too.
Yeah.
You know, because you know, I don't like to be the center of attention, but sometimes you know when you can go out and play music. I think music brings people together. And you know, I've just been doing it for such a long time. It's kind of part of me. But yeah, you know, if I'm not doing stuff around the house, I'm building a pantry right now. I mean, I can go on and on. But I like to stay busy and like to stay active.
Yeah.
You know, it's just something that I've always done, you know, and I enjoy it. I'll be honest with you, since my wife and I've never watched so many movies in my life. So that's a new thing for me. Sometimes it's tough for me to sit still, yeah, I sleep very well at night, put it that way.
That's good.
So.
And I personally feel like, 'cause this is what I noticed with like my hobbies, is that when I allow myself to be creative in other ways, I feel like it fuels my creativity or ideas for my business. Where if you're trying to actively think of ideas for your business, they likely won't come to you. But when you're off doing something completely unrelated and you're giving your mind or your body the opportunity to unwind and not think about that stuff, that's when all of the good stuff happens. And when you have all of these great ideas and energy to go back to your work and incorporate it that way.
Yeah, I was just on we went on vacation a couple weeks ago and started getting like into yoga and things of that nature and just kind of like just calming. I love where you can just kind of have a time out. But as soon as like I get in my car, I have like a half hour commute. I'm listening to business podcasts, I'm listening to entrepreneur podcasts. I'm getting like excited before I walk into the office. You know, and then it gives me a ton of ideas. I'm not recreating the wheel. I know there's other people that have done this before, and I just want to be part of that and do maybe my version. But you know, I think you know the successful people play the game, you know, that they want to play. So, like I said, like when I leave here, I could be going to a gig or playing in front of people. It's just, you know, I just like just doing things and it's kind of simple, like making people like happy and, you know, it kind of like brings it all together. You know, so I think everyone should have some sort of outside passion to do.
Absolutely.
And not deal with the daily grind and, you know, just be more people that know me, I'm pretty, you know, laid back to somewhat. And they're like, but you're a singer in a band and you play guitar. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I've toured, you know, the country, you know, I've done stuff that most people don't do, but I don't want to be that person that looks back and says, well, I didn't do that, you know? And that's why I think like everyone should, you know, just there's so many things out there to do, and they should find what they want to do and embrace it. If you want to run a business, run a business. If it's not for you, do something else. I just, you know, I had an opportunity and I took it. So, and I've had quite a history of we'll call opportunities and, you know, it kind of morphed me to what I am. So, you know, I'm a father, I children, they're all doing exceptionally well. And I think that's because, you know, people learn from others. And,
Definitely.
you know, I'm happy that they're happy and everyone's doing well. And, you know, and when things are going well, know, good things happen.
Yep, you nailed it. And speaking
Pretty
of good
simple.
things happening, what would you say is coming up for Spark Technologies? Like within the next year, 5 years, where do you see the company going?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we definitely have a business plan. And I would say, you know, mine's out to the next 7 to 10 years. But in short term, you know, we stay that steady path. We have continued growth. We've been growing about between 8 to 13% a year. You know, I'm always trying to challenge myself and the team, and we can probably move beyond that, you know. I believe slow and steady wins the race. These companies that just want to like cash in right away. And unfortunately, in our industry, you see a lot of that. There's a lot of private equity out there that are buying companies and consolidations and, you know, takeovers and, you know, acquisitions. This is not uncommon to the tech industry. It happens daily. I get every email you can imagine about this stuff. That's not our course. Our course is slow and steady. You know, continue building the company. You know, I think that we could probably double in size within the next few years. I think that's definitely possible. I think we're pretty much here on the South Shore of Mass. We're actually one of the largest ID companies right now, just on what we have going on. And we're just going to continue in the success. You know, I know just by my staff right here, they'll move up the chain, and new people will come in, and they'll, you know, be responsible for them. And you know, it's a great thing to promote within and see people, you know. And I've, you know, everyone here, at least my top guys now, you know, we were all doing the same fixing stuff before, and now they're in management roles. So,
yeah.
You know, that's the kind of the evolution of Spark. You know, continued growth, continued success, be a positive entity business in the community. And, you know, and sharing the success. That's really the kind of the basic roadmap right now.
Yeah, I love that. Having grown so much in the past 7.5 years, like, do you find yourself being conscious of all that you've done? Like for me, for example, I feel like I struggle to kind of look back and see how far I've come. I'm always like, what's next? Or what am I not doing that I should be doing? Like, do you find that you take the time to appreciate all that you've accomplished in that time? Or do you kind of struggle with always looking at what's ahead and thinking about what you're not doing, if that makes sense?
You'd probably be best if you talk to my wife on that one, because it's funny you say that. So, I mean, it's like almost like saying, like, you know, I wish I invested in Amazon, you know, back when they started. And, yeah, you know, if I did that, you know, I'd be sitting somewhere else, probably under a palm tree. But I think, yeah, I'm not one to like pat myself on my back, you know, as far as like, you know, but some days I get a little bit hard on myself because I always like the challenge.
Yeah.
And it probably like drives my wife crazy, only because she sees it as like, wow, you started with 3 people. You're now up to 11. You started with 1 company. Within the first year, you had 6, and it just kept on growing and growing. And you didn't give up. You know, you didn't stop. You know, there's no debt anymore. You kind of achieved all these things. But I'm like, but it's never good enough. You know, I just want to keep going. I think everyone has different versions of success. You know, mine is, like I said, when I can finally get to the point where I feel like, you know, or I have to retire or something to that point. I don't even know if I'll ever retire, you say that, but I'll probably enjoy or travel more often.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think when you get to a really good place, and you'll know when you're there and everything is functioning the way you kind of built it, I think that's when I know, like, I've achieved something really great. There's so many companies to model after, and, you know, I feel like what we're doing here is good, but yeah, I mean, the companies that are these big mega companies, and maybe that's someone's success that's not mine. I kind of like playing in the non-corporate world, you know, because it's just a little bit closer.
Mm-hmm.
You just get a little bit, you know, more involved in your business.
Yeah.
More involved in the people. And that's what I enjoy. You know, we have, you know, we have gatherings. Everyone's been to my house. You know, I like that lean, mean, and proud feeling. So, but yeah, I know eventually to get to certain revenue marks and things like that. I mean, yeah, of course we'll grow, but be more happy people here.
Yeah, I love that. And speaking of things you enjoy, one of my favorite questions to ask our guests is what their favorite local businesses are to support. And so I'd love to hear places that you frequent or places that you love to go to and support anywhere in Massachusetts.
Oh, boy. I know you asked me this, but I didn't think about it. yeah, I mean, I like I like being close to home, and there's a lot of great programs and things in this nature. Just supporting, whether it be local restaurants or sports teams or venues. When it comes to like sponsoring or doing things where you want to put your money, you always want to have it go to a good cause. We do things for like, Father Bills, or Friendship Home is one of our companies that we support. There's a plenty of local things, the food bank that we support. I could, that is a very tough question. It's only because like a lot of these, like, my wife loves to go out and, go to different restaurants and things like that. And I'm like, being in the restaurant business is probably the toughest business to run.
I
And
imagine.
yeah, it's always say, if you don't sell it, you smell it. So I couldn't imagine being in that business. I think I'm lucky that I actually am in a good flourishing type sector of business. But yeah, and one of the other things I got involved recently through my wife is the Kids Chance program, which which we've done a number of donations through the last couple of years. If you're familiar with that cause, that is for children of parents that either have been injured on the job or death, or those situations. It actually sets up funds for them so that they can go to
Oh,
college.
wow. That's awesome.
So yeah, so that's a great cause, Kids Chance, and we're part of the Kids Chance of Massachusetts. So I think every child should have the opportunity to further their education. That's a great one that we sponsored in the last couple of years. And what was the question again?
Favorite local businesses to support.
Favorite local businesses to support. Yeah. And like I said, we do a lot with the chambers here,
Yes.
the South Shore Chamber, or the Plymouth Chamber, that we're both members of. We do a lot of sponsorships. We just did the sponsorship for the Best of the South Shore that we did. And I'll tell there's so many needy type organizations out there that definitely need money. I wish I could support them all, but just a little bit helps. And things that we do for with a food drive at Christmas time and Thanksgiving, things of that nature. So we always, look to see what we can do as well.
Yeah.
So and like, even through my music stuff, we support simple as bartenders and waitresses. I mean, even one of my bands, I find it funny that I, do well running my own business, but when people give you tips for playing, and we give the money back to the waitresses and bartenders, because
Oh, I love that.
they're working really hard. So that's something that I enjoy doing.
Yeah. Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah.
Rick, this has been such an awesome episode, and I've really appreciated to have the opportunity to share all that you do with your several businesses and multiple hobbies with our audience. And now I'd love if you could share where our listeners can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Yeah, we're at Spark Technologies. It's www.spark, Spark Tech, TECHLLC.com is our website. Or you can always email at info@sparktechllc.com. You can Google us. I'm sure it will pop up. And we're right here in Rockland, Mass, 1050 Hingham Street, right across the street from the Home Depot here, exit 3. Easy to find. And like I said, we're always looking to help people out, especially with their business and their technology needs. And Yeah, and thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, my pleasure, Rick. And I will put all of your links and how people can find you in the show notes. That way people can click through and connect with you from there. But thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.